God. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, it's kind of interesting that as Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, Paul was thankful. Amen. He had a thankful heart. You know, Paul didn't see everything he was desiring to see, but he was giving God praise and glory for what he did see. He was thanking God for their faith. Amen. He was thanking God that they kept their hope. They were patient in hope. You know, he gave God thanks for the joy that they were witnessing. You know, and then as he goes into chapter 2, he's in the book of Thessalonians and he's talking to the church of Thessalonica. He talks about the words of men. And the words of men sometimes can be faulty, foolish, even fickle. But the word of God is faithful, fruitful, and fulfilling. Amen. So as we're looking at this, that man's word and God's word. So if you look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10. The word of God says this: you are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you walk worthy of God who have called you into his kingdom in glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The title of this morning's message is Divine Receptivity. Receptivity. And to be receptive to what the Spirit of God has to say to us through his word today. The apostle told them that they discerned, that they digested, and they display. So it's important that you and I discern the truth. The Bible says that you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make us free. To digest it, we just can't have it in our mouth. We got to let it get into our being. And once we digest it, there will be a display. Amen. It'll be exposed to others. So let's lift our word today and make a declaration in the house. I changed my mind. I'm going to come by later this afternoon. Y'all going to be home? All right. Praise God. Lift the word. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent the word here to accomplish something in each and every life that is gathered in this room today. So, Father, I pray, even before I begin, Father God, may Carl get out of your way. Father, may you speak to this vessel, Father God. May the words that come out of this mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in this room. And then when everything's said and done and accomplished in this house, you'll receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Because they've gathered today not to hear from me, but to hear from you. So, Father, I thank you for this and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. First, he says that in our text today that When you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. Not as the word of men. In other words, they discerned. They made a decision. They decided that they were going to hear the word of God. Amen. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're talking about discerning. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 11 through 1, he's talking about sowing seeds of income, or sowing seed, sowing money and sowing seed into the kingdom of God. And by permission, I'm not taking this out of context, but by permission, I can correlate this to the seed and the sower, because he speaks in the same light, okay? So don't think that I'm saying that this context was written as the seed and the sower. It was written concerning money, but I'm going to take it and call the seed the word of God, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, he says, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." In other words, what God is saying in the seed, in the word of God, and whether it's your seed or the seed that is sown, and if you want to, I can verify this to Isaiah 55:10, if you wanted to go to Isaiah 55:10. So what he's saying here is, when the seed is sown, so many times, don't look at someone else. He said, you got to put it to work in you first. He says, now he that ministers seed to the sower, minister bread for your food. In other words, man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So as the seed of the word comes, if we do not dine on it and apply it, it will not have any effect. It will not do a thing. And in the same light, as he's speaking about as you're giving, that you're giving, as you give, it'd be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. As you give, you're blessed. But God is saying to you today, as you sow the seed of word into your life and you get it inside of you, it ain't going to transform you in the book. This book has not transformed anybody. It's the word of God that comes out of the book that we put in our mouth and we dine on the word. Amen. I can read this book all day long. And if I don't take that word and put it to work in my life, it's just a bunch of noise. It's just a bunch of chatter. It's not going to accomplish anything in my being. You know, so turn with me to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Now, in Matthew 13, he's not talking about money. He's talking about the seed and sower. He's talking about the word of God. Okay? The sower is always the same. The sower is the Holy Spirit. The seed is the word of God. The only thing that's different is the grounds that it falls on. See, this word will go forth today by the Spirit of God. It'll go forth, the seed of the word will go forth. And God wants this word to fall on good ground. He doesn't want it to be on thorny soil or rocky soil. He wants you to open your heart up and receive the word so it can benefit who? So it can benefit you. So it can benefit everyone around you. Whether you recognize it or not, when it benefits you, it benefits others. Yeah. Because if you ain't walking in it, others are miserable. Yeah. Hello? So he says in verse number 23, "But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it and bears fruit." I call it the hub. Hears, understands, and bears. The hub is the effective part of a mechanical thing, anything. The hub flows and, you know, like a wheel. The hub of the wheel is what makes the wheel go around, right? Amen. In other words, and what makes the world change and the word change in our lives is allow it to be the hub, the center of our being, the very core of our being. Hearing, not only hearing, but understanding. When we hear and we understand, then we bear fruit. Amen. In other words, all of a sudden the fruit becomes evident, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Amen. So if you look at this, you know, I'm using this acrostic hub as a reminder. As a reminder, when you get into your word and you study your word, the study to show thyself approved, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As you get into the word, you have this thought of hub in your mind that you're going to hear it, you're going to understand it, and you're going to bear it, and you're going to bear fruit from it. Amen. In other words, you're going to do what God's word says you're going to do. How are you going to do it? By the Holy Spirit. By the Father that's going to give you help to do it. If I believe his word, I believe that I can do all things that Christ through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. I believe that I can take this word, and this word should be manifested in your presence. That we're not just talking for the sake of talking. Amen. Jesus said, hey, when you hear it, you understand it, all of a sudden you're going to see some fruit. You know, Wendy, we celebrate you this week because you just got a fresh report. And what did the doctor say to you? He said you were stable. Isn't that what he said? That's what I heard you say. And what did we say? You're stable because God's what? God's good. He's able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ever asked for or ever thought for. You see, the adversary brought in a report to her to try to steal what God had done. The adversary has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give life and the abundance thereof. And what Wendy told me, he says, I'm not listening to it. I believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hearing, understanding. Bearing. Come on now. You know, the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, I believe 2, verse 7. He said this. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Amen. And in other words, we got to discern it. God's word's the truth. Man's word is sometimes foolish, fickle, faulty. What did we talk about early this morning? How adversary comes to twist the word. The twisted word doesn't have an effect. It doesn't affect you in the way that the word was sent. God sent his word with a plan. God says when we pray, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails. God says that there's an effect that takes place. So he's saying to us, we discern the seed. Is that word from God? If it's not from God, we don't want to digest it and partake of it. Matter of fact, in Psalms 119, the psalmist says this. And verse 103 says this, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Amen. And in other words, what the Apostle Paul was saying here, he said, hey, when you received our word, you received it not as the word of men, but as in a truth, the word of God. In other words, he says to discern, but not only to discern, but we need to digest it. We need to digest it. It just can't be here. God's here, word here won't accomplish a thing for you either. It just becomes intellectual. It becomes intellectual sin is what we'll call it. Okay? It's when it gets from here to here. In other words, I take the word in, I taste it. It tastes like sweetie honey. Amen. I taste it. It tastes good. I can sense that it's God's discerned. It's the word of God. And I take it and I swallow the word. All right. And as I get the word inside of me, praise God, all of a sudden there's something that starts to take place. So look with me in Psalms 119, 11. And listen to what the psalmist said as he digests it. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're discerning the truth. We're taking it, we're digesting it to get it into our core, into our being. Amen? Look with me in Romans chapter 10. Verse number 8. The word of God, the Apostle Paul says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." In other words, I've got to discern the truth. I've got to digest it. I've got to get it inside. Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, I got it in there. I'm meditating. I'm chewing it. I'm digesting it. I'm getting it on my inside. Amen. I'm not just reading the word. I'm trying to get the word inside of me. Amen. Because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And as I'm wrestling principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness, I'm wrestling them with the word of God. Because out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth is speaking. And out of the abundance of my heart, what is coming out is the word of God. My word doesn't do a thing to the adversary. Matter of fact, he even laughs at my words. But the words of God, amen, makes him tremble. Amen. So it's not about my word. It's not about your word. It's about God's word. And he said, as we get this word inside of us, we can take authority over things. Amen? Because of who we are in Christ Jesus. Not because of who we are, but because of who we are in him. And who we are through the word of God. Are y'all with me? Amen? You know, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, and Proverbs 6 is speaking about the parents and their children, but I'm going to take it a step higher as he goes into this in Proverbs 6 and speak about the power and authority of following the word, following God's word. Amen. In Proverbs 6, verse 23, he said, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof or instructions are the way of life." I was looking at this. It was just like, it's like my car. I'm riding down life's highway, and my headlights are the light that shows the way. And the reproof, the law is the stoplights along the way. You know, if you get a yellow light, it means slow down. You're getting ready to stop, or a warning light. Amen. And then as I follow the laws of this, the instructions are the way of life. That's my green light saying I get to go. Amen. Amen. So, when we look at this, and when we get the word of God inside of us and we discern the truth that it's the word of God, we digest it and we get it inside. All of a sudden, things start lighting up in front of us. Amen? Amen. Amen. I shared with them this morning. I'll share with y'all today. I was in the park the other day, and there was a couple of people in the park, and they were gothic, and they were all dressed in black, and they all had all dark clothing, and one of them rode in the path there, die, and all this stuff. And as I was praying, running around praying, the Lord said, they're not the enemy, they're just confused. Right. He's the author of confusion. But he said that they weren't the enemy, that they were confused, because the adversary doesn't come in darkness. He comes in as the spirit of light.
That's right.
He isn't shining up and wearing his dark clothes and his gothic look. Amen? Amen. That's just to get you off track. All right? That's to get you to fight something that we're battling spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle isn't with people. Listen to me. Our battle is not with people. Jesus came for them. Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary for them. Until the trumpet sounds, there's hope for every last one. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to operate in love. Love. You know, the adversary is the artist of confusion. And so many times what happens in this world we're living in, come on, listen to me, the Holy Spirit is speaking right now. In this world in which we live in, the adversary has set up many decoys. There's many decoys. God warned us of the decoys. That we get our focus on the decoy and not the controller of the decoy. Hello? Our battle isn't with people. Come on now. Our battle is with people. God told me to go back. I was looking for the folks because I wanted to tell them how much God loved them. Amen? And that God wanted them to live, not die. God wanted them to have life, not death. God came to give them the abundance of life. Hallelujah. I know that we live in a dark world, but it's time for the church to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. Amen. It's time for the church to arise. Amen. Arising means that we're not going out condemning people. We're not going out judging people. We're going out loving them into the kingdom because God has uniquely made every last one of them, and a lot of them are trying to get some attention. Most of them are starving for attention. Most of them don't have anybody that loves them. They don't have anybody that cares for them, and they're seeking attention, and God wants to give them attention. God wants them to be loved. Loved, not because they deserve it, because he's the giver of love. You didn't deserve his love. He gave it to you and I freely. Amen? Amen. It's so easy to stereotype people. Amen? Amen? The people that have been around the block a couple of times, God knows how to use them. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Amen? Right, young man? Let me tell you something. I want to say this. I'm going to go ahead and say it. It doesn't have anything to do with the message, but I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to say it simple as this. When we built this place, we built this place for a house for sinners. Amen? And just don't look at someone else because they sin differently than you sin. There's not a perfect one in this place. The only perfection we have is Jesus Christ. Amen. We're loving one another. We're being transformed into the image of God. We're being transformed. We're being renewed by the renewing of our mind. We're being changed. We're being transformed. Amen. But at the same time, if we get to the place, if we start judging people, nobody's going to come here, and we're going to be us four and no more. And I'm not about that. You know what I'm missing here today? I'll just be truthful and honest with you. My heart's grieving because my babies aren't here. A lot of my babies aren't here that God's entrusted me with, and my heart is aching for them. Yeah. Amen? So if you know the truth, my heart's aching. Yeah. Amen? Huh? My heart's aching for them. Father, I pray for the babes, Father God. Lord, I pray for everyone that you've called out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, I bind every weapon the enemy is forming in their minds even right now. Father, they're marvelously, wonderfully made in your image. Father God, I just pray somehow, some way that you move upon their hearts and touch their lives today in a supernatural way. Father, I'm thankful for everyone that's here. I'm thankful for everything you're doing in every heart and in every life. I'm grateful that your word declares that he that's begun a good work in us is faithful to see it through. I want them to understand today, Father, that you never start anything you don't finish. So we rejoice where we're at. And we give you praise that we're not staying there, that you've called us to glory, to glory, to glory, and we're being sensitive to what you say. So, Lord, I pray today again that you have your perfect will in every heart and every life in the room. In Jesus' name. Pardon me, my heart got heavy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Big old crybaby. Yeah. You know, when Jesus wept, thank you for opening that door. I guess you opened the door. When Jesus wept, he wept because of the unbelief of the people. Jesus is getting ready to come on the scene. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Death could not reign with him in his presence. Death had to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen. All of a sudden, we got to get to that place where we believe God and his word. That we discern that it's his word, we digest it, and we get it on the inside, and then all of a sudden, guess what takes place? There's a display. There's an effectual working to those that believe. In other words, it has an effect. Cause and effect. Hallelujah. The word of God says in Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're not walking around in darkness. We're walking in the light of the Lord. We're having fellowship of one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're in this together. We're a family of God. Amen. Amen. Just why, you know, just even in the families, the adversary is trying to always just destroy families. His plan is to break up marriages and relationships and families. That's his ploy. That's where he always comes, because a house divided cannot stand. Hallelujah. But God came to give life in the abundance. And in Jesus Christ alone we live. And who God joins together, let no man tear asunder. Amen. There's power in as a couple. There's power in relationship. There's power when two or three of us come into agreement. Why do you think the adversary tries so much to keep us in disagreement? It renders us powerless. Because the Bible says, unless two can agree, how can they walk together? Amen. Amen. In other words, he is saying to us, so what does the adversary want to do? He wants to always put that question mark up. Amen. How did he come with Jesus when Jesus was in the wilderness, when he was tempted of Satan? With question marks. Yeah. But Jesus recognized who he was. You know? He said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." He said, "Him and only him alone will I serve." Amen? I don't know about you, but I've made a decision. As for me and my house, we serving Jesus, ain't we, baby? Amen? So turn with me to Ephesians 3:7. We're talking about the display or the effect. The effect when we discern, digest, it will have an effect. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3:7, he says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power."
Amen.
Of his power. Of his power. We're operating, we're moving in his power and his might. You know, and the Lord said this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. I don't think so many times we get true understanding here when the Apostle Paul says in verse 19, where he says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen? In other words, I belong to him. He purchased me. He purchased me with blood. With his blood. And he purchased us with his blood. And I think so many times, if you know, again, this word, unless it's digested, unless it's put to practice to our life, isn't going to accomplish and do nothing. Amen? Amen? We've got to digest the word and let it, and then it'll have an effect. Look with me in Philemon. I think it's very interesting as we get ready to close here. I think it's very interesting in Philemon. Philemon's slave Onesimus had ran away and fled. And as Onesimus is running, Onesimus receives Jesus as Lord. And now Paul is writing to Philemon, reminding Philemon who he is in Christ Jesus in a gentle, loving way, and how he is to treat a brother in Christ. In other words, we, as the body of Christ, can learn this lesson of the people that are in the world that are caught up in wickedness, and God delivers them from their slavery and calls them into this kingdom, how we're to receive them. He says in Philemon, verse number 5, he says, "Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing in you, which is in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Then all of a sudden, the Apostle Paul is going to talk, bring up the Onesimus. And how Onesimus had done him wrong. And all of a sudden, God's going to say through the Apostle Paul, forgive him and receive him back as a brother. I hear so many people say this. "Well, Pastor, you don't understand what they did to me." You may not understand what you did to God, but God's grace and mercy, he forgave you.
Yes, he did.
And just as the Apostle Paul is speaking to Philemon and saying, "Philemon, forgive Onesimus. Receive him back, not as a slave, but as your brother." God is saying to you and I, if we have aught or unforgiveness with any, forgive them. Receive them back. That's right. Milton just said, God's love doesn't remember wrong suffering. right? He removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. You know what the adversary does to you and I so much? He keeps us caught in the prison of old thoughts and old pains. And when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, when he said, "It is finished," he didn't say it was done part way. He didn't say, "I'm going to finish doing it later." He said, "It is finished." And what God wants you to understand, in your own ability, you'll never be able to do it. But with God, all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. Amen. What is God saying to us in closing today? He is saying, hey, discern the truth. Digest it. So it'll have an open display. Amen. Amen. Can we all just stand in the congregation today? Can we lift our hands to heaven? Father, I thank you for every man and woman that's gathered here today, Father God. Lord, when I spoke the word that you said to speak, even now, they're discerning the truth. The word's being digested inside to their heart, Father God. And there will be a display in the house today. So right now, Spirit of God, I pray right now that you move upon every heart and every life of every individual that's in this room.